Let us pray. Almighty God, through your own Son, you overcame death and opened to us the light of your truth, enlightening our minds and kindle our hearts with the presence of your Spirit, that we may hear your words of comfort and challenge in the readings of Scripture and be fed by yourself through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Some years ago, the Time magazine featured a story about Peter Sellers, the well-known English actor. And the article was about him appearing on the Muppet Show and being interviewed by Kermit the Frog. His interview began with Kermit telling Peter, "Now just relax and be yourself." To which Peter Sellers responded, "I can't be myself because I don't know who I am. The real me does not exist." Now, I suppose that Peter Sellers was trying to be funny. After all, he was a comedian by profession. But on this particular occasion, his words were anything but funny. In fact, they were rather sad. One of his long-term friends, commenting on those words, said, and I quote, "Poor Peter. The real Peter disappeared a long time ago. What he is now is simply an amalgamation of all the stage and screen characters he has ever played. And now he is frantically trying to disentangle that mess and find out who he really is." Now, I don't know if Peter Sellers was ever able to untangle the mess or not. The truth is that just 6 months later, Peter Sellers was dead. But whether or not he did, he wasn't alone in his feelings. And I am convinced that many people go through life wondering who they are, what they are supposed to be doing, and where they are going. Psychology says the one thing which drives us in life is the search for significance. We want to be able to look in the mirror and say to ourselves, "You matter. You are important. You are worth something. I have a good education," some might say, "so I am significant." Or another may say, "I just qualify or got the job I wanted, so I must be significant." And others of us look for significance more in relationships. "I have just been asked out for a date. I must be significant. I have finally fulfilled my parents' expectations of me, so I know I am significant." Now, please do not misunderstand what I am saying. Achievements and relationships certainly are important and they are a source of significance. But it can also be a fragile and tenuous significance. After all, what if you don't achieve? What if you don't get the qualifications you need or the job you're after? Then, who are you? And what about when relationships go wrong? They end up in divorce or ultimately are ended by death. Then, who are you? Ask yourself the question, am I significant? Am I not? The irony of this is that many today who are looking for significance and meaning are doing so against a backdrop of a secular worldview that often seeks to devalue us. Yes, they seek to devalue us. We are often seen as a faceless individual, an invisible person which can be easily disposed of. We are a digital number, a mere statistical reference. Having served in the army for most of my life, I still know my regimental number, 549744, and I will forever have it, and I will forever remember it, because that is what basically they used to ask me, Padre, what is your number? Never mind, what is your name? What is your number? Listen, for instance, to what atheist Richard Dawkins says in his book, The Selfish Gene, and I quote, "We are all survival machines for DNA. A monkey is a machine which preserves genes up trees. A fish is a machine which preserves genes in water. There is even a small worm which preserves genes in German beer mats. We are machines for propagating DNA. It is every living object's sole reason for living. We are the throwaway survival machines of genes." Well, if this is true, how significant is that? Does that make you feel? And if that is all we are, then why not get rid of the unwanted unborn child at one end of the scale? And similarly, why not get rid of the unwanted elderly person at the other end, if that is all that we are? If all we are is just a collection of physical components with no spiritual or moral meaning or purpose beyond that of scientific data or the satisfying of our own desires and physical wants, then by all means, as the Bible says, let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But is that it? No meaning, no purpose? Is it all an accident with no consequences, a random existence with no value or significance? This morning, our reading from Psalm 8 tells us where our real significance lies. So please turn with me, if you can, to that psalm, a psalm written by King David. Before he was king, he was just a shepherd boy who became king, a man after God's own heart, as the Bible describes him. And in this psalm, we can picture young David sitting on a hillside outside Bethlehem, gazing up to the heavens and the moon and the stars. And as he looks up, his heart is filled with the wonder of it all. He is amazed and overawed by the greatness and the sheer magnitude. He knows that what he sees is no accident or a random event in time. He knows that only a creator God could do this. And this is what he says, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens." And this is quite interesting, isn't it? "From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise. He chose the weak things of life to teach the wise and those who feel powerful and great and mighty. When I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man? What is man that you are mindful of him? The Son of Man, that you care for him." There is three things I want you to take away from this sermon this morning. And the first thing is this: we are not the center of the universe. That is the first thing that the psalmist highlights. In this hymn of praise and of worship to God, he says, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name." We are not the center of the universe. God is. In fact, compared to the wonders of God's creation, we are pretty small. And here, as David ponders where real significance is to be found, he goes on to remind himself that it is found in realizing that we are not an accident. You are not an accident. I am not an accident. We were created by God and for God. It is he, not us, who created and sustains all things. Yes, man in all his pride and self-importance cannot and will not be able to overcome this truth. We may create little demigods. We may give them names. We may bow to them. We may embrace them. We may touch them. We may think of them. These are man-made deities. But the one that really is significant of it all is the one who made the heavens and the earth, and the one who is responsible for giving you the significance of an individual that you are. I'm told that Christmas Eve in 1968, William Anderson, Jim Lovell, and Frank Borman orbited the moon in Apollo 8, 240,000 miles from Earth. And one would say, well, what can you do when you are up there? Well, apart from a few scientific things, they did celebrate that historical occasion of Christmas Day when they read from Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, if you were to press pause, if you were to press pause at verse 3 from that psalm, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the star which you have set in place. If you were to pause there, what happens when you do that, when you go outside on a clear evening and you look up into the sky? The story is told of President Roosevelt used to do that amid all the pressures of his high office. And to keep his sense of perspective, he used to take them outside into the garden, and then he will entertain, you know, his guest. And then he will always go to the same spot, and he will always recite the following statement, and I quote, "That is the lower left-hand corner of the great square of Pegasus. Just beside it is a small hazy blur, is the spiral galaxy of Andromeda. It is as large as the Milky Way itself. It's one of 100 million galaxies. It's 750 light years from us and contains 100 billion stars, each of them larger than our own sun." End of quote. And after that, he would pause, and then he would turn to those present and say, "Gentlemen, I think we now feel small enough to go to bed." And that is how secular, sometimes worldview, does leave us feeling. We are just very little, and so we are. We are not the center of the universe. God is. But the second truth I want you to listen to this is that we cannot understand who we are until we understand who we are in relation to God. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers and the moon, what is man that you are mindful of him? You know, the earth is a small dot compared to the size of our sun. Our sun is but a dot in the earth, not even as observable speck when compared to the largest sun in our galaxy. Our galaxy is not as observable speck when compared to the entire universe. We seem so tiny, so insignificant, and total irrelevance almost, as if we matter very little. And yet, we, in the big scheme of things, we occupy a unique place in God's creation because God designed it that way. The Bible says, "You made them. You made them. You put everything under his feet." Now, this may come as a surprise to you, but some years ago, a chemist attempted to determine the worth of man, and by man I mean, you know, either a man or a woman, in terms of the chemical elements of the human body. And the results of the study revealed that in terms of the basic elements, man was worth only about 10 pounds. That is, in terms of the elements of iron, calcium, that kind of thing. If you were to measure it, That's how much you are worth. Just 10 quid. That's it. 10 quid. Of course, a body could be worth around 50 million pounds if you were to calculate by selling the organs for transplant, like lungs, kidneys, eyes, and so forth. But in terms of the chemical elements that make a corpse, the value is just a mere 10 pounds. Well, I guess we better keep up eating those bananas, don't we? But is it possible, and I ask this is a serious question, is it possible to explain the whole of man in terms of 10 pounds? Can we explain the literally genius of Shakespeare in terms of 10 pounds? Can we explain the artistic genius of Michelangelo in terms of just 10 quid? Can we explain the musical genius of Beethoven in terms of 10 pounds? Can we explain the spiritual genius of Jesus of Nazareth in terms of 10 pounds? And can we explain the ongoing process of our own ordinary lives in terms of just 10 pounds? If I was to ask Roddy and Joanna whether Emily is only worth 10 quid, I wonder what they would say. I don't have to ask the question because I think all of you know the answer already. You do. Because in the eyes of God, we are more than just mere elements of flesh and blood and whatever. Oh, no. There is something in man that cannot be calculated in materialistic terms. Man is a spiritual being with a body, not a body with a spirit. When we die, the body goes to dust. It disappears, it rots, it's cremated and becomes ashes. But the Bible says that the soul goes back to God who gave it. And that is the real you. That is the real worth of who you are. I love the story of the daughter who set out to introduce her elderly mother to the wonders of the internet. She went to the popular website ask.com, a kind of a Google, by the way. And she told her mother it could answer any of her questions. So her mother looked skeptical. "It's true, Mom," the daughter said. "Think of something to ask, and it will have the answer for you." They sat there for a few moments, and then her mother responded in a rather serious voice, "Okay, how is Auntie Helen feeling?" That's a true question. You know, it's a very good question, don't you think? The fact is, my friends, Google, or ask.com for that matter, doesn't know how Auntie Helen is feeling. But I know someone who does. He knows. And it is to him that one day we will have to give an honest account of ourselves. He is the one who gives significance to all of us. And so I bring my last point. We have been given the capacity to choose between right and wrong, between good or bad, between God or self. A few modern thinkers would probably agree with the writer of yesterday who spoke of a man as the supreme clown of creation. Others would probably share the materialistic thinking of the recent writer who described man as a chemical laboratory driven about by sex impulses. Others are like the person who once said, "Little monkeys grow up to be big monkeys, little pigs grow up to be big pigs. The people, wonderful people, can grow up to be monkeys or pigs." Which reminds me of the words of St. Winston Churchill, who once said, "I like pigs. Dogs look up to us. Cats look down to us. However, pigs, they treated us equals." Now, I'm sure that you probably don't agree with Churchill on that. But one thing is clear, you and I cannot remain silent nor neutral when it comes to decide who you really are. You want significance? Maybe you need to look beyond yourself for that significance. Man is more than flesh and blood. Man is a spiritual being born to have communion with the eternal God. This is the ultimate meaning of the image of God. It is not that man is he in himself bear just anything of our own selves, that we bear the likeness of God, and it is to him that we must give our account to him. So let me just conclude. We do not find our significance through our jobs, the good thoughts of other people, or even the joy or warmth of family. These are important, I know. They are good, but they are never perfect, never complete. We live in a broken and fallen world where created things always fall short. Career, reputation, family are gifts from God. They are not meant to undergird our sense of value in this world. But when you feel insignificant, whoever you are, in this big, massive world of ours, when personal struggles overwhelm you, train yourself to consider your real significance in the eyes of God. For it is only him who really will give it to you. Let me read to you again. Just that lovely, lovely verse from this lovely, lovely psalm. When I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man? What is man that you are mindful of him, the Son of Man, that you care for him? Do you notice the word care? It is to him that we must give our account. May we never lose sight of that, and may we give thanks to God for this, his word. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, this morning, we want to thank you that your word always tells us something to think about. Help us this morning, Lord, to realize that we are more than just mere facts, a mere statistic, or even a mere composition of elements that can be so easily disposed of. Help us, dear Lord, that we are in your likeness. You care and you love us and you have a purpose for our lives. Help us, Lord, to discover that significance in you and to live for your glory and for your praise. This we ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.